Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. In this week's program, we're going to continue our series of interviews with leadership from agricultural marketing and communications agencies. But first, I want to thank our sponsor for the Zimcast, and that is GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong. Well, before I get to my interview, I also just thought I might make mention here that I will be back on the agriblogging highway going to the International Poultry Expo. We'll be covering that courtesy of Novus International once again. And boy, we just love our friends at Novus and appreciate all of their support. So I'll be back in Atlanta and hoping that the weather is much better than the last trip when Cindy and I were there for the AFBF convention as well as the Ag Connect Expo. And then Cindy will also be on the highway this week. She's going to be attending the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association conference that'll be taking place and then spending a day with our sponsor, GrowMark, which is putting on a precision agriculture event later this week. So we're starting to ramp up our activities on the agriblogging highway, as we call it, and look forward to seeing a lot of you out there somewhere. So let's turn to this week's program, and I spoke with Dean Huff. He's Senior Vice President, Agribusiness and Environmental Science for Padilla Speer Beardsley. And we're going to learn a little bit more about this agency and what sets them apart and some thoughts on social media, as you probably have come to expect. Well, Dean, I'm glad to have the chance to catch up with you and find out what's new with Padilla. And I guess, first of all, it might be good to just give us a little bit of a background or description of the agency.
Sure, that sounds great. Well, first off, thank you very much for giving me a call. It's good to talk to you again, Chuck. And I have now been with Padilla for, 9 or 10 months, relatively new employee. And it's nice to be here. I've admired the agency from afar for a while. And we're a full-service marketing firm based in Minneapolis, also with an office in New York City. And we are about 125 people as of this week. Next week, I think it's going to be closer to 130, which is a good place to be in. And we started out our history as primarily a public relations firm. And then we've grown, probably starting about a decade ago, doing much more integrated work. Our clients asked us to do that, and so we moved much more into integrated work. Mm-hmm. And it's been a great place for us to expand. We're very proud of our public relations heritage, and we have many assignments that are public relations focused, and then we have continued to grow into fully integrated work, including all the disciplines that fall under that, whether that be advertising, direct marketing, social media, et cetera.
Well, it sounds like things are going well because growing is good. And we always ask what's new, and it sounds like some new staff. But what else would you like people to know that's kind of new with Padilla?
Well, we are growing, and that's a nice place to be. We're growing both with our existing clients as well as with new clients. I probably put a little more emphasis, no offense to any new clients, but a little more emphasis with growing with existing clients. I think someone that knows you and works with you on a daily basis, when they're willing to give you more business, that says a lot. And we're probably, in our agricultural group, we've probably grown to the tune of about 20% as we go into 2011 with our existing clients. Mm-hmm. And then we have added new in the area of food and equipment and et cetera. And as I previously mentioned, we were growing a lot in integrated assignments, and that's a big part of why I was brought in with my background. I add even greater breadth and depth of our integrated full-service experience. Mm-hmm. And a couple other new things. We did recently hire a gentleman by the name of Dave Shad as our executive creative director. And Dave was brought in to lead our creative department, continue our full-service growth, and really accelerate our very good creative product to be great. And so Dave just came on board at the beginning of the year, and so we're looking forward to great things from him.
Wonderful. Well, just like we ask what's new with the company, this industry we're in, agribusiness in all of its many facets, has a lot of new things going on, especially in the area of technology. What are some of the things that you see that are important and that are impacting how you're or the type of work and how you're working for your clients?
Well, that's a great question. One of the things I love about this industry, and you've been around like me a while, Chuck, and it's always constantly changing. And that may be a challenge sometimes, but it's a real benefit for us because we enjoy taking on new challenges and et cetera. A few of the things that stand out to me, Chuck, are I think first off, something we've been wanting for years. It seems like every manufacturer is getting better point-of-sale data than they have in the past. It seems like everyone we work with has more information to work with to do better segmentation and better understanding of their audiences. I think that's a thing that people have been working at for years. It's not perfect, but it really allows people to know who they're selling to, who they're not selling to, and dig into their motivations and their needs. And that's a big leap forward, I think, in the last couple years. Another thing that stands out to me is the dissemination of technology amongst our growers and farmers always amazes me. Everyone wants to talk about how we tend to have a slightly older audience and some things like that, and that is true. But acceptance of things like precision farming, acceptance of online buying, whether that be for equipment or agricultural inputs or whatnot, is quite staggering and growing fast. And so I think that's something that we all have to think about in terms of technological adoption in the market is very important. And then for marketers, both on the client side of the business and the agency side of the business, there's a pretty big rush to build expertise in digital and social media. And I think everybody's working really hard to make the most of that. And of course, we are too. I think we bring a lot of real advantages in that arena. And it's an area that I think people have to maybe even look to the past before they just jump to the future on that, and be careful not to think that social media is the silver bullet. You know as well as I do, Chuck, just doing a Facebook post doesn't necessarily make you an expert in all social media. And so I think people really need to understand what they're doing and why they're.
I fully agree with that. I mean, it's something that what I like about it, I guess, in a way, is that really it's allowing us to use things we've already been doing, whether that's in the creative area with images and video and audio and then writing, et cetera, but doing it in a new channel. And the difference I see there that really is making it difficult for some people to adapt is the speed at which this happens versus the way we used to do it, you know, where I can now take this picture, edit it, post it, and like literally either straight from a phone or from the computer. I mean, instantly it's published for the world to see instead of, you know, waiting for publication, which might have been a long process in the past. Well, as we look at especially social media and social networking, how is Padilla approaching this as an agency to bring these things into integrated campaigns with your clients?
I think you touched on a real key point, Chuck, and I appreciate the insight that you offer, and that is social media, digital media, new media, whatever moniker we want to put on it, is another channel. It's not necessarily a strategy unto itself. It can be in some instances, but it's another channel for us. And it doesn't sound as glitzy. It doesn't sound as wonderful and new to say that we use social media as a part of getting to overall communications objectives, but that's really what we do. I think some of the dangers that exist out there whenever a new channel comes along, and this has happened before, so I don't think this is something we ought to have to reinvent the wheel every time. When a new channel comes along, I think it can be the shiny object syndrome, and I think people can rush to be trying to do just something in that channel, in this instance being digital or social media, rather than considering how and why they're doing that. So to answer your question specifically, I think the thing that we're really doing that helps us a great deal and helps our clients is we're trying to take a very disciplined approach to how we utilize social media to meet communications objectives. So again, it's not as glitzy to say, but I think the reality of the situation is having a real disciplined approach to helping our clients first know their audiences very well and the motivations that those target audiences have, then developing measurable objectives against that, and then going through the process of saying what are the right strategies and tactics to use. Mm-hmm. And then once you're into using that channel, then like you say, you've got to think about the the nature of that channel and be able to work within the nature of that channel. So, again, it doesn't sound, I think most people just want to say, this is really great over here, this new stuff, let's jump into it. I think what we tend to do is figure out or help clients figure out how and why they jump into it. And so that's probably one of the key differences for us. We still do our disciplined approach of saying, what do you want to accomplish, and then help our clients figure out how you accomplish it.
So what would be some examples of how you've, in your opinion, or your clients, successfully helped them bring this new social media stuff into their campaigns, for example?
Well, if I say I'm going to be disciplined about it, I think I have to approach it from that standpoint. And I think for us, it starts with the audience and how we're going to reach that audience and reach that audience to meet a communication objective. So whether it's in consumer work, which we do a lot of, or whether it's in a agricultural or B2B setting, we still take that approach. So using, first off, consumer as an example, we've worked with clients like Memorex, who are trying to target mothers who want very family-focused entertainment. And the way that social media integrates there with that audience is it may be around the contests that are already being run against that audience. It may be around the promotions that are being done, trade shows, all the different means that we're using. The social media dovetails and integrates with those to directly reach that audience. I would say, though, the agricultural industry poses some different challenges, and maybe any B2B setting does. But I look at agriculture as kind of a hybrid between a direct-to-consumer and a B2B approach. And so for us there, we always have to have in our mind that we're in a multi-tiered channel. We're not in solely a direct channel. So we have to think about our end consumer, our end customer, which is farmers and growers. But we also have to think about all the different influencer audiences that are between that. And if you forget those, that's a huge mistake. So whether that be the high-profile growers that tend to be a bit of a bellwether that others look to, those folks are a great audience in terms of working with them and providing content for them. Or it could be a technical influencer like a consultant or a university researcher, and we need to make sure that we're packaging and creating the right kind of content for them. Or it can be our sales channel. And so I think for us from the agricultural market, the example I'd point to would be making sure that we use all of those different channels and all those different audiences. It's not just packaging content for social media to the grower. It's also packaging content for social media for those intermediaries that are affecting that audience or informing that audience of a specific topic. So it adds complexity, but it's a complexity that if you start with the end in mind, I think you can overcome pretty easily.
Yeah, I think you made some very good points there about how you look at bringing this in and making it part of your strategy. And I really like the idea of when you look at this ag audience that, it's a large part B2B, but it's also a large part of, like what we call direct to a consumer, because farmers are consumers, but they're businessmen running a business. And it's an interesting mix there that I think is really needs to be kind of kept in the back of your mind as you're doing this kind of stuff. As you look at the success you've had, what would you say are some of the things that are keys to your success that have helped make it happen?
Well, there's probably two different ways I'd answer that question, Chuck. The first one is, since we were talking about social media, I might start from there. And I think there's some best practices we use. And then I think there's just some general things that makes Padilla's Beer Beardsley successful with clients. So from a social media standpoint, you touched on some really keys earlier. You're dealing with a medium that in some ways collapses all the different channels that we use in other ways into one. And so we want to make sure that we're using things like video. It's hugely powerful because we can link to different things and send it out, whether it's over Twitter or Facebook or on blogs or whatnot, all the different channels within the channel of social media, but using things like video and other links to smart people out there, using it as a dialogue, a back and forth. I think one of the dangers that marketers need to stay away from is just using social media such as Facebook and things like that as radio. It's it's a two-way medium, and we need to approach it that. We need to be asking questions as much as we're trying to provide answers or the positions of clients' products. The other thing is, I think, just understanding the strengths of each of those channels are very important. And the last thing is, you can't assume results in a fast-moving channel like social media. You need to test it. I think one of the keys to our success has been, whenever we try a new aspect within the world of digital media, we're constantly testing it, looking at the results, seeing what worked, how to replicate that, what didn't work so well, how to improve it, and what just didn't work at all, and jettison those things. So that, from a social media standpoint, I think those have been some of the keys to our success. As a company, I'd say, you know, we tend to be really good listeners here, and that's one of the things that always attracted me to this place. So I think we add value to our clients through really listening to them. I'd also say that that audience-centric focus that I spoke of earlier is extremely important. And we have some tools that we use that are proprietary to make sure that we're constantly keeping the end user audience in mind and how we're meeting their needs. It's one of my lines that I say to the team and I talk to clients about is, oftentimes it's not what you have to sell, it's what your audience wants to buy. And you need to make sure that you're thinking about the needs of that audience and how you fulfill those needs, more so than just what you have. You might want to modify what you have to meet their needs. So I think that's a key point for us here, that everybody on our team thinks that way. And then I'll come back to the notion of always developing measurable communications objectives and knowing what kind of metrics you can put in place to gauge that performance is extremely important. Just throwing something out there and not knowing what's working is simply not a way that we work, and it's not the way our clients want us to work. And so we're constantly working with them to make sure that when we start, we start with the end in mind, and so we know what we want to accomplish and we know how we're going to measure it, which leads to, you know, a mix of different ideas. We are huge proponents of social media, but it is one channel, and so we're always looking at what kind of mix of ways with which we need to use to reach the end user. And of course, you know, all the planning in the world isn't useful if you don't have good execution, and I think we do a really good job of that here too. So those are kind of the key points that I think have made Padilla successful in the past, and while we keep that up, I think it will continue to keep us successful.
Oh, great. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, Dean, about the agency. And this series of interviews that we've been doing has really received some great feedback, because I think, you know, whether it's your clients or people who might be looking to go to work there or perhaps approach you for some with some need that they might have, it's just an opportunity to kind of get to know you a little bit better, and we're just happy to have our channel to do that.
Well, we really appreciate it, Chuck. It's always good to stay in touch with you and talk with you, and we definitely appreciate the leadership that you bring in the marketplace, and I wish you all the success for the coming year.
Well, thank you very much. Same to you. That is Dean Huff with Padilla Spear Beardsley. That is the Zimcast for this week. I'm going to leave you with some music from Music Alley. And since I will be at the Poultry Expo, this is a song called Chickens by a group called Pain. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.